Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Today's passage contrasts outcomes for the righteous and the wicked, the diligent and the lazy, the wise and the foolish. It teaches that those who work hard, speak truthfully, listen to advice, and care for others will have abundant life and favor from the Lord. However, those who chase fantasies, lie, despise correction, and plot evil will face trouble and ruin. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 12, verse 11, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of this chapter.
He poured out his love, his forgiveness of sin.
He that tills his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that follows or pursues vain persons is void of understanding. He that follows or pursues vain persons, chases fantasies, pursuers of get-rich-quick schemes to avoid hard work, Pastor Don Carson said. Throughout Scripture, we find the warning to avoid the bad company of those who shun the virtue of hard labor. He that tills his land shall be satisfied with bread. Just imagine you're a farmer, and you just look at that land, and you pray, Lord, I pray that there's crops. I pray there's crops. But you've got to get out of your room, and you've got to start doing something, or you're not going to get any crops. Oh, God could grow crops without your help, but he's given us responsibility. And so God put Adam and Eve in a garden before the fall. So work isn't a curse. The curse is that you sweat. And in a fallen body, you get old. You start to feel the aches and the pains and the creaks and everything, right? The older you get, mornings take you a little bit more time to get the engine going. Maybe an extra cup of coffee, but hard working. Throughout Scripture, we find the value of working hard, being diligent. Verse 12, the wicked desires the net or the plunder of evil men, but the root, again, there's the root of the righteous yields fruit. A person who is rooted in Christ, abiding in Christ, is going to yield fruit. Matthew Henry wrote, the wicked desires only a net wherewith to fish for himself. The righteous desires to yield fruit for the benefit of others and the glory of God. You know, one of the striking contrasts between a wicked and a righteous person in the Bible is the things that they desire. You know, when you are born again, you're immediately born again, and yet God begins to change your desires. Have you found that out? That the longer you walk with the Lord, the things that you used to love, you don't love anymore. And the things that you used to think, that you used to say, well, wow, that is just not weird, you begin to love. It's amazing how God changes us on the inside out. Before a person is converted, Ephesians 2 says in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, and the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. That's what we were by nature in Adam, children of wrath, desiring the things or the net of evil men. We just like to party hardy and we loved it. But the root of the righteous yields fruit. After we're saved, we still have a flesh nature. You know that, right? We have a traitor inside of us. But our desire is to walk in the Spirit and in close fellowship with Jesus. Psalm 19, verse 10 says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Is what? The Word of God that tells us how to live. Before we move on, beloved, remember that Satan has a desire also. He has a desire for each and every child of God. And it's the same desire that the Lord Jesus pointed out to Peter. He says in Luke 22:31, the Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desire to have you that he may sift you or reclaim you. Notice, as wheat, not as a tare. And so we all have to be on our guard because we have an adversary, the devil, who goes around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And who does he devour? The person who is not in the Word of God, the person who is not in fellowship with others, the person who is not willing to be accountable to others or listen to others or receive instructions from others. The root of the righteous yields fruit. What fruit? The fruit of the Spirit. The wicked is snared like an animal in a trap by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. There's so many proverbs that talk about the mouth and talk and speech. And there's always a mouth and heart connection, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But the Bible also tells us that there are times when we can be saying one thing with our mouth, but there's another thing going on in our heart. And for that, we need discernment. Matthew Henry again says, many a man has paid dearly in this world for the transgression of his lips and has felt the lash on his back for want of a bridle upon his tongue. How many times, beloved, have you said something and the words no sooner came out of your mouth, you're saying, why did I ever say that? Thank you for being honest, my dear brother. How many times? And I wouldn't say this to married couples. You know, there are times, no matter how much you love Jesus and how much you're in love with one another, there's times where maybe you don't agree on things. You know what? Don't let the enemy tempt you into saying something to get something off your chest. They're going to have to say, you know what? I should have never said it. Well, then keep your mouth shut. Take a break. Go for a little walk. Pray. Pray in the Spirit, if need be, and come back and just talk. Words are important. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Look at verse 14. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and a recompense or harvest of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. So right living and right speaking are keys to being satisfied and fruitful. In fact, in the book of James, we read in chapter 1, again, speaking about the tongue, and boy, we could go down that road for a long time. But words are very important. Communication is extremely important. And one of the things that we need the Spirit of God to really help us with, because the Bible says the tongue no man can tame. I can't, but the Holy Spirit can. Because the Bible says in James 1:26, if any man among you seems to be religious but cannot bridle his tongue, he's deceiving his own heart, and this man's religion is in vain. So it's very important that we be careful of what we talk about. The Bible talks about reckless speech, a careless speech, emotional speech, how we need God's wisdom. We don't want to be snared by the words that we say. But a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkens unto counsel is wise. There it is again. Now, why are so many of these proverbs repeated? Because we sometimes forget so easily, don't we? Isn't it amazing how easy it is for us to forget what we're supposed to remember and remember what we're supposed to forget? That's just how flawed we are, even in a redeemed condition. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. That is why a fool is always argumentative, because he thinks he can never be wrong. And what's ironic about proverbs like this is that the people who need the counsel the most are often the ones who are least ready to receive it. Proverbs 3:7, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. He that hearkens unto counsel is wise. How we all need counsel, don't we? Iron sharpening iron. We can all be blinded in our own little way of seeing things or doing things. And how we need this within the body of Christ, don't we? How we need that loving Jesus, a Spirit-like encouragement and correction to help us grow together. Proverbs 9:9, we read, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. Listening to wise counsel is what keeps a man from acting like a fool, because he's willing to be advised. He's willing to have counsel given to him. And who ultimately is the best counselor? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the wonderful counselor. Have you found that out? You just sit before him and say, Lord, I need your counsel. I need your wisdom. And then just sit still and pray. And he will give you that wisdom. He will give you that counsel. What a wonderful counselor he is. And how God wants to use us to grow by pointing things out that maybe we may be blinded to. Verse 16, a fool's wrath is presently known. Literally, it says, a fool shows his anger or his annoyance at once. A fool will lose his temper when they're offended, but a prudent man ignores an insult. The Bible tells us to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to what? Wrath. But a prudent man covers shame. Again, Matthew Henry. When his spirit is stirred and his heart hot within him, he keeps his mouth as with a bridle and suppresses his resentments by smothering and stifling them. Anger is shame, and though a wise man may be not perfectly free from it, yet he is ashamed of it, rebukes it, and suffers not the evil spirit to speak. The prudent man is a man who is an example of self-control or God-control. Now, verses 17 through 19, again, three contrasts of speech of the righteous and the wicked. The words of the righteous we're going to see are true, healing, helpful, unchanging, and permanent. And the words of the wicked are deceitful, hurtful, transitory. He that speaks truth shows forth righteousness. The word speaks there is literally breatheth, and suggesting that this is a natural way of life to him. He is just a man of his word. Didn't Jesus tell us to just be men and women of our word? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything other than that, he says, is bad communication. A person reveals with his mouth where his heart is. He that speaks truth shows forth righteousness. His life is evidence that he is walking in righteousness. But a false witness, deceit. The false witness shows his true character by deceit. The word deceit there speaks of dishonesty or trickery. And oftentimes, the mouth, again, is truly the index of the heart. There is that speaking like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. In fact, the word health there means medicine. There's verbal medicine that we can be giving people. There's verbal toxins that we can be giving people. Rash, thoughtless, hasty, careless words. They're the piercings of a sword, like slander, backbiting, words that are spoken with an intention to hurt or to destroy. We've all been the recipient of them, haven't we? Words can be devastating. It's amazing how sharp and cutting the tongue can be if it's not kept under control. But the tongue of the wise is health. Proverbs 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Don't you love that? Ministering grace to those you're speaking to. Remember when Jesus picked up the scroll of Isaiah and he read the prophecy of the Messiah to come from Isaiah chapter 61? And when he put down the scroll, he says they were amazed at the gracious words that came out of his mouth. Now, he would have read scriptures that others would have read, but they never heard it read like Jesus. And he's their example of how to talk to friend or foe. He is our example. Psalm 141, verse 5 says, let the righteous smite me, and it shall be a kindness. Let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. Verse 19, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. What is true will always be true. Isn't that amazing? 2 plus 2 will always be 4. Now, every once in a while, you're going to run into some guy or gal that's going to say, well, no, it's, how do you know it's 4? It could be 5. Well, it's 4, pal. It always will be 4. A lie will eventually be revealed. Falsehood will pass away, but the truth remains constant. And how wise it is to build our lives solely upon the enduring foundation of God's truth. You and I can trust the Bible, beloved, because it has withstood the test of time. God's truth is truth, and you and I can trust it. If the Lord tarries, look at this, Proverbs 12 has said the same thing to people for thousands of years. And it will, should the Lord tarry, for another thousands of years. Verse 20, deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. Those who plan evil by deceit have no joy because of the risks and dangers in their plans, whereas the plans of the righteous led by peace have great joy. It's been long one of Satan's lies that the end justifies the means. Does it? No, it never does. It never does. Any sort of deceit will be exposed. Always ends up in sorrow. How we need to be counselors of peace. And a counselor of peace will be an individual that will ultimately bring joy. Because if you're looking for counsel, you're looking for godly wisdom, right? And when you receive godly wisdom and you want it, it's a joy even when you are corrected. Oh, thank you, Lord. You spared me from doing the stupid, rash thing that I was thinking of. And that's one of the things that is so disturbing, heartbreaking in pastoral ministry. People come to you and ask you for advice, and you pray before they come, and you give them advice, and then they go and they do their own thing, and they're in your office years later. Why didn't I listen? Well, it's not me, it's the Spirit of God. He is the counselor that when we listen to Him, He gives us joy. Amen? His counsel is the ultimate counsel. There'll be no permanent evil that will happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Now, again, the balance to that truth is found in Ecclesiastes, where Solomon observed that in a fallen world, righteous people sometimes suffer difficulty because of injustice. But by and large, no evil thing will happen to you and I. And no good thing will God withhold from those who walk uprightly. Lying lips, verse 22, are an abomination. The word abomination means a tragic mistake, extremely disgusting and hateful. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. There's no such thing as a white lie. Anybody tell you that's a white lie? No, a lie is a lie. These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue. God hates lying. Proverbs 26:28 says, a lying tongue hates those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Another description of a lying tongue is someone who will give you a half-truth instead of the whole truth. That's why the Bible tells us that sometimes somebody comes to you with an issue, and then someone else comes along and corrects them and go, oh, now I get the whole story. But they that deal truly or truthfully are His delight. Honest words coming from a heart of a love for Christ is a delight to God. God, give us words of honesty that honor You. Verse 23, a prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of the implication is self-confident fools proclaims foolishness. Those who have the least amount of wisdom are often the most forward to express their opinion. It's interesting, but on the other hand, a wise person is a model of restraint and humility, only speaking what he knows at the appropriate time. You know people that are know-it-alls? They know nothing at all. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:11, a fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keeps it until afterward. The Puritan said this, quote, it's better to keep silence and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and confirm it. Just spewing out words. No. Let's be wise. The hand of the diligent bears rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. This is the first of 11 times we see the word slothful. A lazy person is one that can come up with a million excuses why he or she cannot do this or that. A lazy person is also called in Scripture a great waster. The idle soul shall suffer hunger. Verse 25, this has ministered to so many people over the years. Heaviness or anxiety in the heart of man makes it stoop, weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. There are times in our lives where there's a heaviness that we feel, right? Don't we? For various reasons. There's heaviness, there's worry, there's concern, there's anxiety, there's sadness. But a good word makes it glad. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." How many times have those words of Jesus ministered to your heart? When your heart's been heavy, when your heart's been down, when your heart's been overwhelmed, Jesus says, "Come to me." The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduces them. The one who tries to seduce others actually gets seduced themselves because they're playing according to the devil's rules, which is to walk in the light, not in darkness. The slothful man roasts not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. One commentator says, "The slothful seems to enjoy hunting just for the sport of it, and then does not use what he has killed, but just lets it spoil. Doesn't roast that which he took, but to the substance of a diligent man is precious." Haven't you found that as you get older and you grow in the Lord, you're more satisfied with smaller portions of things, you know? Just a little bit. The substance of a diligent man is precious. And then our last verse for tonight. "And the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death." In the way of righteousness, what is that way of righteousness? Jesus says there's two paths. There's the wide path that leads to destruction. That's the group, that August group of, well, you know what they say. Ever heard that? Well, they say, who are those people that give us these injunctions? The wide path, the multitude, the path of those who are not walking in the counsel of the Lord. And the way of righteousness is life. The narrow path that leads to life. The path of righteousness. Romans 6 talks about yielding our members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Our lives as instruments of righteousness. The pathway here is a narrow footpath as distinguished from a cart path, which is wider. Jesus says, follow me on that narrow path that leads to life. Amen. I was reading in Job yesterday, chapter 17, verse 9, talking about the narrow path, or in the path of righteousness, where it says, "The righteous also shall hold on to his way." Holding on to the ways of the Lord. Amen? And you got to hold on. Because there's so many things from without and within that seek to pull us away from holding on to the Lord. "The righteous shall hold on his way, and he that has clean hands shall be stronger and stronger." Thank God for that. That when we're walking in the ways of the Lord, our lives will become stronger in the things of the Spirit. We need to be like David's mighty men, men of valor, women of valor, holding on to the truth, speaking the truth, thinking the truth, walking in the truth. May that be the prayer of our heart.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.